Joining me via phone in the WGVU newsroom is Stacy Stout. Stacy is the assistant to the city manager of Grand Rapids. As on Tuesday, the Grand Rapids City Commission voted unanimously to approve the revised human rights ordinance. The ordinance, which was first introduced in April and has since been updated, makes it contrary to city policy for any person to deny any individual the enjoyment of civil rights because of actual or perceived color, sexual orientation, or any other protected class. The policy includes making bias crime reporting a civil infraction, meaning it would be against city policy to call police and racially profile people of color for non-criminal matters, where the call is made solely as an act of discrimination. And Stacy joins us now to discuss it. Stacy, how are you today?
Very excited, and thank you for having me.
Stacy, can you tell me what happened last night?
Yeah, so the City Commission and the mayor, they approved this historic ordinance called Human Rights, which does include the bias crime reporting, but it's for any of the protected classes, not just for folks of color, in addition to a lot of other enhancements. So this will essentially replace the prior ordinance that was referred to as the Community Relations Commission. So this is much more robust. It's clear as far as processes, and it's just more transparent and easy to read for the community and all to understand.
So when we talk about human rights, I believe that before we had a policy similar to this, but it was much shorter. There were no definitions of what it meant to be a protected class. It was hard to, you know, file a complaint. What makes this different?
And that is one of the highlights of this ordinance. It's really having a place where folks can bring their concerns one stop. In the past, folks would make a complaint and were like, well, that's not under a jurisdiction. Here's another phone number. Or that's part of this jurisdiction. And so we'd give them an email. And so now we're able to receive these concerns. And then we're able to have a formal referral process to those that have that it's if it's under their jurisdiction, or if it's not, then we would investigate. And so it's just a really, when someone is experiencing discrimination, or they feel that's very traumatic, right? That's very stressful. And for them to have to navigate the many systems, so this is more, I guess, community friendly. And so that's really exciting that we're going to partner with Michigan Department of Civil Rights, Fair Housing, and others.
So I believe you've talked about how this ordinance like adds sections for clarity and transparency, right? Was this something that wasn't in place before?
Not in a written format of this way. And so, like you said, the definition. So if we're going to have conversations, and we do hope that this ordinance spurs conversations with neighbors and communities and families around not just the bias, but what it really means to be inclusive community. And so adding the definitions helps with that language and what we mean, right? Because there's a lot of misunderstanding. And so that's almost 3 pages long, right? So we added that piece. And I think also being really clear on the role and responsibility of the Community Relations Commission. I think at first they thought this volunteer table of leaders would be doing the investigation. And investigations really need to be by trained investigators. And so we clarified that and also expanded the table, because part of the Community Relations Commission charge is really to help build relationships and communicate both between the city and the community and the community with the city. And so we just outline that in a more clear way, not only so they can do what they need to do, but also as others are interested in joining the CRC, they have a clear understanding of what that role is.
So before this, as I understand, the CRC is a group of volunteer folks from the community that started to look at this policy, right? Started to look at creating this policy. So now, is it going to fall back on these folks to be the ones to decide if, you know, discrimination took place? Or is there going to be someone in the city who's going to be paid to ensure these this ordinance is followed through?
Yes. No, so the CRC will not be investigating. They can be a referral. So if they interact with someone that feels that they've been possibly, you know, the ordinance has been broken against them, they can refer them to the online complaint form that we're working on, or the email or the phone, or just coming into our office. So we want to I have multiple avenues for folks to share their concerns, but they would not be doing the investigation. They would not be enforcing it. That would be paid staff here at the city, specifically out of the Office of Diversity and Inclusion. We would work in partnership with the city attorney's office and possibly the new Office of Oversight and Public Accountability.
So, paid
trained investigators for sure. But we do expect a lot of the concerns that bring forward. We anticipate, but we don't know, right? Because this is brand new, that most of them will go through the formal referral process, which will work with those partners to kind of track where those referrals, how they ended up, to the degree that we can under confidentiality rules.
So, Stacey, for folks who may not be listening, who may be listening but may not know, can you take us back to the beginning of this thing? Like, how did the human rights ordinance become important for the city to take a look at it passing?
Yeah, so actually this has been almost 2 years in the making. Lanao Legrone, who was a policy director at the time at Link Up, a local community organization, brought to us a 30-page draft ordinance. I believe it was in November of 2017, and the Community Relations Commission started working on it then to really shape it into an ordinance that works for the city as far as our format and the language. They worked very hard on that. Also thinking about implementation, because it's one thing to have an ordinance, it's another thing to say, okay, now how are we going to enforce it? And so they put a lot of work into that initial draft that came before the City Commission this past April. And then from there, I started my new role overseeing the city's diversity, equity, and inclusion work. I started working on this more intensely to really solidify the implementation plan and to go through it with a fine-tooth comb to make sure that everything was what it needed to be in partnership. And, of course, I did that in partnership with attorneys because I am not one. and so the community was just fantastic. So we had a public hearing on April 23rd. Almost all of them were in favor of it, and some just had questions, right? And they're like, this isn't clear, which helped us to revise the ordinance that was brought before the City Commission last night. And so it really was a community effort. Every person that spoke or emailed or sat at a work table to make sure that it was clear and that we're looking at it from a lot of different perspectives. So it truly is a community ordinance, but it was spurred by Lanell and then CRC and Patty Caudill from my office and Sherry Batzner, attorney's office, really did a lot of the initial legwork, and then additional folks came in at the end to kind of bring it home.
Why do you think it's so important to have an ordinance like this that protects marginalized folks in our community? Why is this so important?
Well, I would like to say that we've had the ordinance in another name, which was called the Community Relations Commission Ordinance. We probably have the oldest ordinance in the state. So we have had this and believed in protecting folks for decades, right? It's important because, unfortunately, we know that discrimination exists. Bias exists, whether it's conscious or unconscious. It exists in policy, right? And so we talk about systemic isms, systemic racism, sexism, homophobia, all of that. This is a way to have folks reflect and to think through some of the actions, whether the actions are phone calls or the actions are policy, to say how can we make sure we're not having any harmful impacts. My work in equity is really when folks just take time to reflect and really think about it and to get information when they know better. In my experience, most folks have wanted to do better. And so this ordinance is really important because it's going to have folks really just reflect a little bit more. And we're going to do education around it too, because the ordinance is one thing, but if folks don't know about the ordinance or what it really entails, then it's not as helpful as it could be. So we are doing a community awareness campaign this fall and into the winter, and then quite frankly annually as well.
Can you tell me when the ordinance was voted yesterday, but when is it going to be effective?
This will be effective December 1st, 2019. We have a lot of steps to put in place before we're ready. And so that online complaint form is really important, and that we beta test that with a lot of different users. The paper format, we also want to solidify. We started getting partnership agreements with those external investigation agencies like the Michigan Department of Civil Rights. So we just have shared understanding of the referral process, what's the communication going to be, what's the turnaround time. We also want to do a really thoughtful community engagement, community education around this in the fall and winter, like I had mentioned. But then also we want to do some trainings internally with the staff, whether it's 911 dispatch, to look at their training that they're currently getting. So as they get these calls, they can continue to vet and to preliminarily assess if it's a bias call or if it's a real call that they have to deploy the officers to. So there's just a lot of work to do, but it is doable because in preparation and hoping that it would pass, we started planning already, but we couldn't fully plan until we knew it passed.
One last thing, Stacey. I know that in the ordinance, it says if someone is found to have violated the ordinance, they could face a civil infraction of up to $500. Mm-hmm. Can you explain that a bit more to me?
Yes. Yeah, so this is a civil infraction. It's not a misdemeanor. And so as with any civil infraction, there are fees involved. So if the investigation showed that they knowingly or recklessly did do a report or any violation, it's not just a bias crime report. I want to be clear that is one paragraph in the overall 13-page ordinance. It's whether it's employment practicing, housing, contracts, et cetera. If they're found in violation of the ordinance, that could be one of the penalties for that is a citation.
Thank you so much, Stacey Stout. You are the assistant to the city manager in the city of Grand Rapids. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.